We're going to read from Colossians 3, verse 1 to 17. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we want to thank you for your word. I pray that as we come to your word this morning, that you would reveal yourself through your word. Heavenly Father, take my weak human words, and by your spirit, I pray that you will set them on fire. May we hear your voice and your voice alone speaking to us this morning. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will open our minds, give us understanding, open our hearts to take on board what you have for us this morning as we look into this whole area of abiding in you. Father, I pray that we may all know the touch of the Holy Spirit upon our lives as we seek to abide more and more in yourself. Help us, Lord, for your glory. Amen. We're going to continue this morning in our series on abiding. And this week we're going to be looking at abiding through Scripture, abiding through the Word of God. And I've chosen for our text Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. But before we dive into the text, you probably notice that Paul writes, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, not let the word of God dwell in you richly. So is this the same thing, or is this something different? If you turn with me to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, John in the first verse of his Gospel declares that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, is what John says. Jesus is the Word. He was with God at the beginning of all things. He was there at creation. But not only was Jesus with God, John declares Jesus Christ himself is the Word is God. Paul, I believe, uses the phrase the word of Christ, because in the opening chapters of Colossians, he's been teaching about Christ. He's been teaching about the preeminence of Christ, meaning that Christ is first in everything. And in Colossians 2, verse 9, Paul declares this, "For in him, that is Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." The divine nature of God, the whole divine nature of God himself, dwells in Jesus Christ. God was in Christ. So when Paul declares, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," he means exactly the same as "Let the word of God dwell in you richly." The whole of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, points to Christ Jesus, speaks of Christ Jesus. This book, the Bible, is the spoken word of Christ. Listen to how the Amplified Bible puts our text. "Let the spoken word of Christ have its home within you, dwelling in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being as you teach spiritual things and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." As our time is limited this morning, we're only going to look at the very first part of this verse together. Literally, the first few words, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And I want us to consider three things from this verse that pertains to abiding. Firstly, what does it mean to abide through Scripture? Secondly, how do we abide through Scripture? And thirdly, what will be the overflow when we abide through Scripture? Firstly then, what does it mean to abide through Scripture? Paul says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let it be at home. Let it make itself at home in your heart. In order for the word of Christ to dwell in us, make itself at home in our hearts, Paul says, first of all, we must let it. We must let it. And that's important. It must first of all enter into us. But God doesn't force his word upon us. And it doesn't just happen. It requires a desire on our part to let it in. We have to have an appetite. We have to have a hunger, a yearning, a passion for the word of God. We have to make room for it in our busy, cluttered lives. It takes effort. It requires intention. It calls for investment of our time, of our energy. You see, that desire, that hunger, isn't natural. It comes only from the Holy Spirit working in our lives. When we're born again, when we place our personal faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, when we become a child of God, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, to live in us. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives this desire, this goal for us to imitate Christ, to live lives like Christ. But in order to imitate Christ, we must draw close to him. We must get to know him. Commune with him, walk with him. In other words, we must abide in him, which is what this series that we're looking at the moment is all about. You see, abiding through Scripture is all about relationship. It's all about relationship. As believers, we say that we love God, we love Jesus Christ. But what exactly does that look like? Just think about human relationships for a moment. Love, real loving desire, drives us to want to spend time with the ones we love, doesn't it? We long to be with them. We long to be in their company, spend time with them, getting to know them better. And that's exactly the same when it comes to our relationship with God. Learning how to abide through the Word of God is no different to thinking through ways to spend time with the people that you love. Think about how you abide with your best friend. You spend time with them, enjoy their company. You do things together, don't you? And if it's a really good relationship, you share your lives, your deepest thoughts, the highs and the lows. But then if you're married and you think about your spouse, how did you get to know them early on in your relationship? How did you build that relationship? You spent time with them, getting to know them. Ruth and I were separated by many miles when we first started going out. I was in South London and she was in Herne Bay. And we took every opportunity to see one another. We concocted opportunities to see one another, to spend time with one another. We became quite imaginative and inventive at times. Ruth even bunked off college once to spend the day with me. Yeah, and I still became an elder. Her mum was really not impressed, I can tell you. But it's amazing how resourceful you can be when you're in love. You just want to be with that person. You talk to them, you listen to them, you spend time together, discovering everything there is to know about them. You text each other. Well, we wrote letters. Remember letters? We wrote letters every day. Every day. You phone them, you think about one another, night and day. You talk about one another to your friends. And that's exactly how things should be in our relationship with Jesus. We are to have this same, well, actually deeper personal relationship with him, relating to him, connecting with him in that same personal way. So how do we do that? By abiding with him. And one of the ways we do that is using his word that he's given to us, listening to him as we meditate on his word. Because Jesus speaks to us through his word, the Bible. The Bible is the main way God communicates to us, his children. This is the inspired word of God. It's God breathed. We get to know him intimately through his word. We discover all about him through his word. He speaks to you personally through his word. Let me ask you a question that I ask myself. How important to you is your relationship with Jesus? Are you prepared to do all that you can to allow time in your busy life to spend time abiding with Jesus through his word? Are you willing to be inventive, imaginative, to be in his presence? What sacrifices are you willing to make that will enable you to spend more time at the feet of Jesus, listening to him? Because in any relationship, there will come a time when you will need to make sacrifices if that relationship is going to progress. One of the biggest sacrifices we need to make if we want to abide in Jesus is the sacrifice of our time. Forgoing things in our busy lives to allow time for God. I know it's very difficult in our busy lives to find time for God. And I know that I'm really blessed in that area now I've retired. It gives me more time. But just for a moment, ask yourself the question, how much time do I spend meditating on the Word of God compared, say, to the time I spend each day reading or listening to the news, maybe chatting to my friends on social media? And I have to put my hand up and confess that other things probably win each time with me. And that's something I need to address in my own life. I need to ask myself the question, what would I prefer? knowing what's depressing, heartbreaking, joyless, what things are going on in the world, or knowing Jesus more? Jesus, the source of hope. Jesus, the joy bringer, the light of the world, the bread of life, the wonderful counselor, the fountain of living water. Surely abiding in Jesus should win hands down. Surely our greatest desire should be knowing Jesus more and more by abiding in him through Scripture. That being the case, we come to our second point, our second question. How? How do we do it? How do we abide through Scripture? Please turn with me, if you've got your Bibles, to Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Very well-known psalm, which says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Here in Psalm 1, we're told that the blessed, the happy person, focuses their attention not on the world and what's going on in the world, but focuses their attention, their desire is on meditating day and night on the law. Now, the law was the word of God when this psalm was written. Now we're blessed and we have so much more of Scripture that we can meditate. But that desire is to be the same. We are to meditate day and night on the word of God. That doesn't mean that you have to sit cross-legged on the floor humming to yourself while trying to empty your mind of everything apart from the word of God. Nor does it mean that you have to live life like a monk or a nun, shutting yourself away in isolation from the world. Jesus never did that, did he? He never did that. He spent his life amongst people, yet he still meditated and spent time abiding with Father God. No, we're not expected to just meditate on the Scripture 24/7. As I said, Jesus never did, and he is our model. We have other commitments, responsibilities, God-given responsibilities. Responsibilities of work, of our family, of church, and many, many other things. So what does it mean when it says to meditate day and night? I believe this is all about factoring in abiding into our lifestyle, making abiding our way of life, our culture. The word of Christ is to be a permanent guest in your life, not a visitor. Let me ask you, is your life a home or is it a hotel when it comes to Scripture? And what do I mean by that? Well, when you stay in a hotel, it's temporary, isn't it? You are visitors. You stay a while, you move on. You live out of a suitcase containing a small selection of your things. Yet, when we're at home, we live there, we relax there, we reside there, abide there. We're at home. We don't live out of a suitcase. We have all our things around us. Does the word of Christ find your life to be a bit like a hotel room, I wonder? Not a permanent place of residence, not a welcoming place to dwell. Is the word of Christ constrained to a suitcase with limited content that you just dip in and out of when the mood takes you, when something crops up in life that's not too pleasant? So you dip into the suitcase with a word of God, with a word of Scripture. Or does the word of Christ dwell in your heart, in the home of your life permanently, filling not just a suitcase, but your whole being, every room, every cupboard, every corner of your life? To meditate day and night means having a lifestyle that regularly allows for the study of God's word, the word of Christ. Not just reading a verse once or twice a week, but meditating on the word, spending time with the word, memorizing the word, becoming familiar with its principles, learning to love its author more and more each day. And that's important. It's not the Bible, the words that are important. It's the author. It's the author. Because they are the very words of our Saviour. Another way of looking at it is it's the difference between grabbing a snack and sitting down for a proper meal. Grabbing a snack is good in as much as it will stop you from starving. Sitting down to a meal, on the other hand, is far better for us as it provides us with a balanced diet, the right nutrients and minerals. We're not rushing. We're not getting indigestion. Yes, there are times when all we can manage is a snack, and that's okay. That's good. But if you snack every day, if that's all you do, it's guaranteed you will soon become very unhealthy. You will become run down and sickly. In the same way as our bodies need a balanced diet, so do our spiritual bodies. We need the daily intake of the nutrients of the Word if we are to be spiritually healthy and alive in God. We need to chew over, consider, and examine the Scriptures, drawing out every nutrient we can. The best way to explain it, I think, is to think of a cow in a field. Yes, you heard me right. No pun intended. Let me explain what I mean. Picture a cow in a lovely green grassy field, processing the grass they eat, chewing its cud all day long. A cow has four stomachs to help process the grass they eat. When a cow eats grass, it chews and grinds it to get the nutrients out of the grass, and then it swallows it down into the first stomach where it's partially digested. Then the cow regurgitates the partially digested grass, chews it some more, and then swallows it into its second stomach, and so on, until the grass is fully digested, until the grass, every last nutrient, is extracted from that grass. That is what meditating on the Word of God is like. The cow needs the nutrients to live, so it patiently, slowly ruminates on what it needs. We too should slowly, repeatedly chew on God's Word throughout the day and the night, because I believe this also happens in our subconscious when we're asleep. Recognizing that being with God in His Word gives us life, gives us all that we need for life to the full, abundant life. One quick pass at a verse or section of Bible once a week is not enough. Scripture needs to be gone over and over so we can fully savor it and be spiritually fed by it. Abiding through the Scriptures is a marinating, mulling over, reflecting, memorizing, dwelling on, pondering on the Word of God, which will result in a transformational, life-changing engagement with God Himself. As we abide, as we get to know God, as we are formed through His Word, we become more and more like Jesus. Okay, so how do you do it exactly? How do you put this into practice? How do you chew the cud of Scripture? Let me give you a few suggestions, but right from the off, let me just say this is not the only way. If you're already meditating on God's Word, then that's fantastic. Keep going with the way you're doing it. But if this idea is new to you and it may feel a bit scary and daunting, then these suggestions may calm your fears and give you a safe place to start from. As I say, this is not the only method. Experiment. Find something that suits you, that suits your lifestyle, that suits your day. I've put together an 8-point plan to help abiding through the Scriptures. Don't worry about writing it all down. I've included it in this week's handout. It's here. There's some copies of it at the back for you to take away. But just 8 points. Point one, and this is very important, choose a time and a place to meditate on the Word of God. It's far easier to build a consistent habit if you do it at the same time each day if you possibly can. Doesn't matter when it is, as long as it's consistent each day. If you're a morning person, then pick an early time. If you're a night owl, then find a slot in your evening. Maybe in your lunch hour at work, if you've got a quiet space. Or maybe if you've got young children, a time when they're perhaps having a nap, something like that. Also, as Jeff said last week when he was talking about prayer, find a place that's quiet. Close the door. Leave your mobile phone outside or switch it off. Because you need time and space in which to meditate. Second point, pray. This is also essential. Before you meditate on the Word of God, ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding and revelation. Or simple prayer like, Father, will you teach me about yourself as I read your Word? God loves answering prayers like this, and he wants to reveal his nature to us. He's longing to do that, reveal himself to us as his children. Third point. Open your Bible at the verse or passage you wish to meditate on. It doesn't have to be a long passage. In fact, I'd say keep it short at first, especially if you're starting out on this journey of meditating on Scripture. You want to build this up over time. You can build it up over time to a passage, to becoming a passage of Scripture, because you will just want more and more than just the one verse. I can guarantee that. As you start off with one verse, you'll just want more as the Holy Spirit gives you this desire for more. So build it up. Start small at first. And if you start small, it won't feel unachievable. You won't feel disheartened. Start small and let it grow. There are various apps available that give you a different verse of Scripture each day. They are great to get you started. But one of the dangers of single verses is they don't give you the context. They don't give you the context of the verse. You don't get the background, what's led up to the verse. Of course, you could always read the verses around the verse of the day, and many apps do allow you to do this. It might be a good aid for you. Or maybe consider a more systematic approach by working through a passage of Scripture. Say a psalm. Working through it, verse at a time. Fourth point, read the verse slowly. Out loud if you can. Don't rush it. Take your time. We all seem to be in a rush, don't we? We want things done quickly. We want things done promptly. We've lost the beauty of slowing down, of taking time. Don't be tempted to rush. Take your time and read. Let the words begin to soak into your heart and into your mind. As I said, reading it aloud makes a difference. Even if you whisper it, something profound happens when our ears hear God's word spoken as we read. Fifth point. After you've read it, reread it again, even more slowly, leaving spaces between words and phrases. What stands out for you? Is there a key word that caught your attention? Think about that key word. Some Bible apps will even read the Scripture to you. Maybe do that after you've read it to yourself the first time, so you can think about each word as it's being read. Perhaps as you read the words, spark another thought there in your mind. There's no right or wrong way of doing this. God can reveal different things about himself each time you read the same Scripture. What's important is you begin to get to know Jesus as you read his word. Sixth point, it may help to write down your thoughts. Take a moment to write down what stood out for you, what you were thinking about as you read the verse. Just a sentence is enough. It doesn't have to be an essay, unless that's what you want to do. It just helps you solidify what you were meditating on, and you can refer back to it again. Seventh point, respond to God. Talk to him about your experience. If you're confused, if you're perturbed, upset about what you read, tell him. He understands. Again, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If you're joyful and rejoicing, You may even feel led to worship him. We don't have time to look at the rest of this text this morning, as I said at the beginning, but Paul does indicate that worship will flow. Worship will flow when we let the word dwell in us. So let your praise and your adoration flow, if that's where the word takes you. And finally, point eight, act like that cow in the field and chew the cud. Chew on the word, meditate on the verse during the day as you do go about your daily activities. If you get a moment during the day, reread the verse again, all the time asking God to continue to reveal himself to you. Is there anything new that stands out? This is the process of meditating on the word of God. Write down anything you thought about, off you go again, chewing the cud during your day, gathering all the goodness from meditating on the word of God. It's important to take your time when learning to meditate on God's word. God isn't in a rush. Let me say that again. God isn't in a rush, and you don't have to be. Finally, and I must add this as it's very important, don't beat yourself up for missing a day or two. Don't beat yourself up. Don't punish yourself if you don't manage it every day. There's no gold star for attendance here. Just continue the next day and keep going. Meditating on the word of God is not to be a burden. It's actually a wonderful, exciting pleasure. Just think what it is you're doing. You're abiding in the presence of the King of Kings. You're abiding in his presence. You've got his ear. He's attentive to you. He's listening to you. He's speaking to you through his word. Just you. How amazing it is to just hear your loving Father speaking to you personally. It's all about relationship. It's about building relationship, developing relationship. It's not about ticking any boxes or trying to impress anybody. And then also share what God's saying to you with others through your small group, your discipleship group, through your friends. Let's, as a church, encourage one another as we abide through the scriptures. So we've looked at what it means to abide through scripture, how we can practically abide through scripture by letting it dwell within us. Thirdly, and very briefly, what will be the overflow when we abide through scripture? What is the outcome, the result, the consequence of abiding through scripture? Abiding through scripture will transform you. It will reshape you, make you more and more like Jesus. It will transform your relationship with God. Going back to Psalm 1, verse 3 says, "The person that meditates on the word, that abides in Jesus, is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." Like a tree planted by streams of water. The word of Christ dwelling in you is like having your roots by streams of living water. Because of this life-giving water, you will grow. You will develop. You will not wither and die. Instead, you'll produce an abundance of fruit, succulent heavenly fruit. Paul, in verse 2 of our passage, tells us to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. When we have the scriptures dwelling within us, when we're feeding on the living word, we are setting our minds on things above, heavenly things, not earthly, worldly things. Paul again in Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." As we abide through scripture, our minds are being renewed. Renew means to replace. Renewing means replacing the old way of thinking with a new way. God doesn't want you to think like the world thinks. He doesn't. His word is life. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. His word renews our mind, which results in the renewing of our whole self. As Paul declares in verse 10 of Colossians 3, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. As we abide in Jesus through the scriptures, we're being renewed. The old nature is replaced bit by bit by the new nature. The nature, the very nature of Jesus. The lying, the anger, the rage, the malice, the slander. The old nature is replaced with love, joy, compassion, kindness, patience, meekness. As we abide in Jesus, we become more and more like him. Our lives are transformed, and this transformation will show itself in every area of our lives. Paul lists three areas in verses 18 to 24. Our marriages, our family life, our working lives. As we become more and more like Jesus through abiding, our lives will show that we have been with Jesus. As we immerse ourselves in the Word, as we let it dwell, as we savor it, cherish it, bask in it, delight in it, as it becomes our lifestyle, our lives will more and more reflect Jesus. Reflect Jesus to all those around us, our friends, our neighbors, the people that we meet. If the word of Christ is dwelling in us, when people look at us, they won't see us, they will see Jesus. They will see Jesus. So as we close, let me ask you, as I ask myself, what is shaping your heart? What is molding you? Is it the world or is it the word? Is it the world or is it the word? There are many voices coming at us from the world, voices that come at us from all and every direction, through social media, through our televisions, through the internet, through real life conversations that we have. Those voices subtly, cunningly, skillfully shape how we think, how we respond, how we react to situations in life. Are those voices subtly shaping you? Are those voices having an impact, creating a last impression on you? Or are you allowing the word of Christ to dwell in you richly as you meditate on the word? If you never open your Bible from one Sunday to the next, sadly, the only thing that's shaping you will be the world. It won't be the word unless you open it, read it, meditate on it. When we let the word of God dwell in our hearts, it will mold us and shape us to be like Jesus in every area of our lives as we abide in him. Are you letting the word dwell in every corner of your life, renewing your mind so that Jesus shines through your thinking, your speaking, the way that you act, permitting him to cultivate a right way of living within you so that you shine for him, so that those around you notice that you have been with Jesus? Are you becoming more and more like Jesus every day as you abide through the scriptures for his glory? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you want to have this relationship with us. You want us to abide in you. You want to dwell within us. Lord, thank you for what you're showing us through this series of how we can abide in you. And particularly this morning, we thank you how we can abide in you through your word. I pray that you would take all that has been said this morning, Lord, and that you will continue to speak to us through the coming days of this week, of how we can abide more and more in you and become more and more like you, live lives that are imitations of you, and that people around us will notice. Just give us this desire, this hunger, Lord, I pray, to know you more and to be in your presence more each and every day. For your name's sake, Lord. Amen.